Amen. Well, it's been humbling to me to sit here this morning and meditate on God's work in our lives, and had to wonder what did we do to deserve it. I'm not sure if we can even say that we've been as faithful in what we've been given as we should have. So I know that he didn't do it because we deserve it. But I would like to thank God. And I think we should just stand together and do that this morning. Father, we do stand, and it is intentionally to you that we stand in honor and praise and adoration. It is you that we seek to bless. It is you that we say thank you to for somehow finding the love and compassion to be with us. Thank you, Lord, for being here, being in our lives, guiding and leading us, giving us light for our path, establishing your precepts in our heart, guiding, giving direction to the values, the things we appreciate, teaching us more about who you are. Thank you, Lord, for putting your love in our heart. Thank you for thank you for young people that love you with all their heart and want to seek you. Lord, we just commit the prayers. Most of them ask for prayer. And Lord, we, without your help, the responsibility looks great. With the knowledge that we've been given, with the things that have been taught, without your help, we could not bear these things. But we take hope and courage in the many promises. You promise to be with us. You promise to finish what you've started. And you promise to help us. So thank you, Lord, for these. I do pray for each one that asked for prayer just now. Lord, would you, we know how faithful you are to answer these prayers. And would we be faithful in praying and faithful in diligence. So thank you, Lord, for this service. Thank you for what has been shared. And may you help us, Lord, here in the time remaining. In your worthy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We did want to share this morning that the purpose of the week, the end goal, that we want each one that listens to the messages that are shared here and also the young people, the purpose has been a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and a closer walk with God. it's easy for us to take all this information and not know for sure how to process it. I know I've been there many times and sometimes I still am. But it's important that somehow we find God's help with this information, and that we don't let it overwhelm us, or we don't let it bog us down, but that somehow God can help us with this. And this may not all happen in one day. So my heart this morning is to share a few thoughts about walking in the Spirit. And that is a lifelong commitment and a lifelong challenge that finds tremendous fulfillment, tremendous joy to walk in the Spirit. And I'm not sure if I'm bringing as much on that very subject as I'd like, but it is my heart here. I think a lot of my heart here was in that song that I chose this morning, 964. And maybe we can sing that later as well. But to walk in the Spirit, we can ask, how do we know we're walking in the Spirit? Well, you know, God gives us a conscience, and God gives us His Word, and God gives us brothers and sisters in Christ, and God gives us His Spirit. And all of those together can help us to find God's will. It's not always easy to find God's will, and it's not always easy to always walk in His Spirit. Sometimes the dictates of our flesh, the dictates of our flesh are sometimes first in line. Sometimes our appetites or whatever rushes to wants to be first, wants to be noticed, wants more attention, is speaking the loudest to us. But somehow, if we have some time, we can normally, as we consider what is God's heart, what does God's word say, what is right, we can find God's will and we can walk in His Spirit. And I want, with all the information that's been shared this week, my heart is to not undermine or take any of that away, but to give us a word here that will help us. That will help us too. To find the grace and power of God to apply these things to our life. The most holy and necessary practice in our life, in our spiritual lives, is the presence of God. That was the purpose of all of this last week. That means finding constant pleasure in His divine presence. Speaking humbly, lovingly with Him at all times, in all seasons, every moment, without limiting the conversation in any way. You know, I think that it starts with some of us. Some of us may have to find faith to believe that God is with us all times, even when we are doing the menial tasks, the daily, everyday tasks. You know, Mom, when you're changing a diaper that smells, do you believe that you can be praising God and thinking about Him even while you're changing the diaper? Or putting the next meal on? Or when you're at work and or you're on the phone and someone has a problem, God is there. That is the most beautiful thing that I think we can experience to a greater measure than maybe many of the people that lived in the Old Testament were able to. We see in the Old Testament that God's Spirit came upon people here and there, but He didn't indwell. They weren't the temple of the living God to the degree that we are today. And so we can ask God to bring to mind those things that we heard this last week, and we can be meditating on them every moment that we're awake. And we can be worshiping God, and that is my heart. As we heard this last week, I'd like to just open up with the word, a psalm. If you have your Bible, Psalm 139, verse 8, just to help reference what God says. He says here, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit?" in verse 7, or "whither shall I flee from thy presence?" God is everywhere. "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." God is everywhere. And I just want to encourage you, even now, to believe that God is with you. If He's not, you will know. If there's something to make right. And I just want to encourage you to worship Him and to practice meditating on Him and His glory and His being and His character, and to just talk to Him. God cares about everything. I'm not saying any of this to take away from all the things we heard this week about studying the Bible, about the things that God wants to do in our life, but rather I'm jealous that we find His help and His strength and His power so that we can avail more fully of the things we heard. That is my heart and my burden this morning. Paul says in Galatians, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. I think Paul would just say, just live in the Spirit all the time. Live in God's Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It is a spiritual man, my dear, every one of us, that God wants to strengthen and build up to the degree that the desires of the flesh are not even appealing. They don't even get a voice in our daily walk anymore when the spiritual man is built up. Galatians 5 also says further down, that was verse 16. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's a beautiful thing that God has for us that sometimes we take for granted. Let us walk in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit of God. You know, there's much that could be said about the Comforter. And I'd like to just turn to a scripture there this morning. I'm opening up a lot of subjects, but my heart is to go on and be a bit more practical. But John 14:26, Jesus says in His own words, let's start in verse 25. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. And He's saying, I'm with you. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. It's interesting to me that while Jesus was with them, He was excited about this. And He wanted to make sure that He told His disciples while He was yet with them. He started teaching them about this Comforter, about God's presence in their life, about them being the temple of the living God. Think about that. The temple of the living God, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And my dear young people, I feel the need of God's help with just what we heard last week. I feel the burden of the responsibility, the accountability for the truth that God so graciously gave us last week. And I feel like we're going to need His help. We're going to need His Spirit to help us. That Comforter, it's given for this reason, to bring to remembrance all things whatsoever I have said unto you. Hopefully you find courage to continue to press in to your life with enthusiasm. We commend this to you with joy. We want you to enter this next week with joy and God's grace and God's peace. I talk a little bit later here about condemnation. It's easy for us to look at all these things and feel. Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Let's continue to talk about here. It is not enough to abstain from evil. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's not enough to just not do bad things. God's heart in us, not God's heart, is that we are so full of His Spirit and His presence, and so full of worship for Him that that everything else becomes distant and dim. That is possible. That can easily be reality in our lives with God's help. I did want to encourage you. I think something was mentioned about what Abraham did this week. He went and he built altars everywhere he went. And I just want to encourage you, you can do that in your life. Go to work, build an altar of worship. Put whatever, you know, that doesn't mean, God wants to know, God wants us to share our troubles with Him too. And our failings and our weaknesses, along with worshiping Him. And just having a time of, even now when I'm up here preaching, I can be meditating on God in my heart and my life. His goodness, it goes on and on. Even when I'm talking, in the back of my subconscious mind, God is there. And I can be communing with Him. And that is my heart with you all, that you start a life of building altars of worship to God everywhere you go and worship Him. That is what this week was all about. It's about our relationship with God. It's It's about our walk with God and walking in His Spirit. All that was said and done this week was with the purpose of enhancing our relationship with God and enjoying Him yet more, and Him becoming yet more precious to us. Whatever we do, even as we are reading the Word or praying, we should stop for a few moments, or as often as possible, to praise God from the depth of our hearts, to enjoy Him there in the secret. Since we believe God is always with us, no matter what we may be doing, why shouldn't we stop for a while to adore Him, to praise Him, to petition Him, to offer Him our hearts, and to thank Him, and to just lift Him up in worship and praise. Build altars in your life, at work, as you're doing your tasks. God is there. What a tremendous truth. It's a life-changing truth. I had a scripture here, how Jesus, the child, grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And we pray that for each one. Ephesians says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It indicates that we have our part to do in the filling as well. To give our, if we offer our clean vessel to God, we witnessed that this week over several times. That's one thing I want to testify about, the power in God's Word. God's Word was tested over and over this week, and every time God never failed the test. We watched His Spirit transform people's lives every time they had the opportunity. Whenever it didn't, there was something in the life that was hindering it. And when that was confessed and made right, we could witness God's Spirit meeting every soul every time. God is faithful in that way. May you take courage. Yeah, there's scripture there. I have here in Proverbs. And my normal challenge up here is all that I have. I think some of it I end up just skipping here. I guess we'll trust the Lord to lead me in this way. But again, I did feel like we should, let's just say this scripture here yet before we kind of, let's keep going here. John 15:7, these words from Jesus Christ. He says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. I wish I could put into words, without any boasting, how faithful God has been to these words that Jesus Christ says here. Whatsoever ye ask, ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Sometime, hopefully, I can put into writing and I can take time to just reflect back. But in the last several years, God has, in major ways, been faithful in my life in answering these very words. And He will be to you. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, He's here to help us, and it shall be done unto you. So again, let's talk a little bit more about condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The bar was raised this last week. Our mind and in our thinking, we can feel like we can't do it. Like it's impossible. How can I remember? How can I attain to all the things that we heard? And so it's easy to allow the enemy to put some type of feeling in the back of our mind that if I don't attain to these things, somehow there'll be some type of punishment if I don't accomplish them. And my dear brothers and sisters, my heart is to not let condemnation into our lives, but to allow the Spirit of God and faith to rise up in our hearts and joy, the unspeakable joy and the unquenchable peace of God, to let that in our hearts. And let's not, since the bar was raised, let us be more enthused. Let us be more, my mind is going way too fast here. Let us lean more wholly on the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us be more enthused about the possibility of His grace and power working in our lives. And let us not let any condemnation in. Because in the back of our mind, the enemy can put a thought there, if I don't, what kind of punishment will there be or whatever, and that's condemnation. Not saying there shouldn't be diligence. Not taking away anything that was said here this last week. May God help us. As Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Is that encouraging? Without Christ, we can do nothing. It is the Spirit of God, as we can go back over our notes, as we seek Him, as we meditate. He can help us set goals. He can remind us. And with Him, we can be fruitful. We can do it. I don't want us to go off and try in our own strength to put all these things into our lives, because I'm afraid that it'll leave us wanting, and we'll end up not being as fruitful as we should be. It may take a few reminders. We're human enough. It may take a few months. It may take another year. It may take some time to allow these things that we've heard to continue to fully impact our lives. But that is what is more important than anything, is that we work with the Spirit of God, and that we walk in the Spirit of God, and that we continue to bring these things to our minds, and that we allow God to help them apply them to our lives. It is better than having knowledge that goes in one ear and out the other. As the book of James, it was quoted earlier, but to be a doer of the word is our heart. And so probably we're not going to next week be able to avail of all the truth that we heard. Is that right? Is that right? How would we ever avail or accomplish or apply all the things we heard in our lives? How would we ever get that accomplished to having them in our lives next week? Not taking from them, but let us press in with God's help. It may take a bit of time. The perfection of Christ is our goal as well. Walking in the Spirit, being full of the Spirit, being fruitful, worshiping God, being in His presence, and also the perfection of Christ. The perfection of Christ shows us how imperfect we are. I think that's important, that we continue to look to Him as our example. We have a message of hope and promise that He will help us to be more like Himself. As Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that He who begun a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ. Right up to the time of His return is what he's saying. Developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as in both my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. Paul says, He that started a good work on you has promised to finish it. Those are words of encouragement to me as I think of that. 1 John 3:3 says, And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. As it was already quoted this morning, I had these scriptures here. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God's grace was given to each of us. You know, one thing that I want to encourage us in, it's okay for us to all. I think one of the great purposes that God has in a brotherhood, in a body of Christ, and it's been an encouragement to me, is the examples of our brothers and sisters help us to press on. But the one thing we don't want to let it do is take our focus off of, you know, God deals with each one of us according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He says here in Ephesians 4:7, But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. God is not partial. He doesn't discriminate. He doesn't give one brother something that he did doesn't another. Yet it seems like we're all at different places in our walk. And it's important that we keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in His Spirit, and that we don't start looking at our brother that we think has it all together, or a sister, or this way. God has His portion of grace for each one of us. It's a tremendous. He will not fail us. He will treat us right. He will never mistreat us. He will not be partial, and He will not give someone else something that He doesn't have for us. But it is also important that we remember that maybe we're at a bit of a, not as a license for giving up, but each one of us, God individually helps where we are. And I want us to be encouraged about that. The thought here is set goals that are attainable. As was said last week, I think Brother Allen said last week, if you aim at nothing, you're sure to hit it. And we can also become so goal-oriented that we lose the spirit, or we somehow go off on our own little tangent, and we end up not walking in the Spirit of God. But I think that the way that there's tremendous promises and words of God to the diligent, God's hand never lacks to the diligent, and may we not be found lacking in diligence. That is my heart as we set goals. In that way, Paul says, you know these words well. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. He's saying here, whoever wants to be perfect, let this be your heart and let this be your mind. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. You know, we can't change the past. I wonder how many times the enemy has allowed some of God's people to linger and not go forward because of the past. How about you? If sometimes we just can't get over the past, and we stay hooked on the past. And I just want to encourage us, what is done cannot be undone. God has promised, He has promised mercy. He has promised these things. But what God is really interested in is where we go next week. What all we can change in our lives next week by His grace as we walk in His Spirit. Let us just purpose to forget what is behind. You know, sometimes it's achievements. Sometimes it's things that I have accomplished that allow an attitude of indifference in my heart. Sometimes we feel like we've accomplished things. Even those things we have to leave behind with the Lord. Let us go on into perfection, leaving the past as the past in our dear Lord's hands, saying, Lord, I do wish things could have been better. I do wish we can all stand and we can have all these wishes in the past. And that's been me. I can see, in my unconverted state, when I would play a game or whatnot, at the end of the game, I would spend time meditating what I could have done better. And somehow I carried too much of that in my new walk with the Lord. And it's good to not, I'm not saying that the things that God has taught us, that there's not value in some of those things. That's not what I'm saying. But for the most part, our ambition, our hope, is in going forward. It's not in standing and observing the past. It's not in remembering. It's not in all those things. So my heart is, let us be thus minded. Let us leave the past. And let us, with joy, anticipate, as Paul says here, he said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. May we purpose to do that here in the week to come. God is way more interested in what we want and what we're going to do going forward than He is our past. The past is easy for God to deal with. What is before us? May God help us. God says, "For I know thy thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." There's more scriptures there that we should read. As Psalm 45 says, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are toward us. Many are God's wonderful thoughts towards us. They cannot be reckoned in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." God's desires, God's thoughts, God's plans, the things that God wants to help us do, God can't go do them. He needs our diligence. He needs vessels that are willing. He needs us to offer ourselves to Him. But He has good plans. God doesn't have evil plans for any of us. He has nothing but good in mind for each one of us. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, He says. Thoughts of peace, thoughts of love, to give you an expected end. It is important that we move forward. I hope this can fit in here, but there's a short account about a Confederate general that wasn't able to leave the past behind. He wasn't able to move forward. He wasn't able to move forward and do what he was asked to do. And let me just read that here. It says, "The enemy will advance if we do not go forward, the enemy will advance and overtake us." So we can't stay and look to the past. We have to march on. The Confederate General Longstreet, during the Battle of Gettysburg, had one of his generals come up to him and report that he was unable to bring up his men again so as to charge the enemy. "Very well," said the general. "Just let them remain where they are. The enemy is going to advance and will spare you the trouble of trying to bring them forward." And may we remember that little account in our lives and our walk with the Lord. Another area that I'd like to just talk about here is we can fall into the mindset that work isn't spiritual. Hard work is that we either were at home in the prayer closet praying, or else that's the only place we can really be spiritual and really be communing with God. And I am not taking away from our time alone, and I'm not taking away from studying the Bible. But God commands us to work. Slothfulness in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, and all of these things. And I just want reality as we go into next week. It can be spiritual to be working hard, to be working for God. It is a false mindset that says the only time I can really be with God is when I'm all by myself and this and that, because during the hardest work, we can be meditating and praising and worshiping and praying to God, and in fellowship with God. Again, I'm not taking away from our need for that, because what we want is a balance. And I was thinking, we heard it over and over growing up, Asisha Moss E. Olam, and I kept thinking, as much as we heard it, I wondered if it was scriptural. And I don't think it is. But there was a couple of scriptures that had come to my mind that I forgot to put references in for that would go with that. In other words, there's temperance. In fact, I must have misplaced them. I thought I did put some scriptures in here on temperance. I did maybe hear a little bit later. Meekness, temperance, against such there's no law. But temperance, you know, it's okay to work hard, but then there's a time to stop working and seek God. You know, that there be self-control and temperance in our life is my heart for all of us. But hard work, a slothfulness casteth us into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Not slothful in business in Romans 12:11. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Hebrews 6:12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Again, God has a lot to say. If we don't eat, we shouldn't work. We heard that this week. I didn't say that right. If we don't work, we shouldn't eat, if I can say it right here. And so just that there's a balance and reality in all these things. May God help us walk in His Spirit. Practice the presence of God everywhere you are. Walk in His Spirit. Build altars everywhere you go, praising God and glorifying His holy name. We want a life that is filled with freedom and rejoicing. Continually counting our blessings and being grateful to God in our subconscious minds and spirit as we seek Him. Let me page through some of my notes here a bit. This is a blessing. It says, "This neither skill nor knowledge is needed to go to God. All that is necessary is a heart dedicated entirely and solely to Him out of love for Him above everything else." There's no special skill or knowledge needed. The only knowledge you need is that God is here. And we can come to Him. We fall to our own strength when we stray from God's company and when we don't ask Him for His divine help. When we are in doubt, God never fails to show us the right way to go, as long as our goal is to please Him and show our love to Him. Our sanctification does not depend as much on changing our activities as it does on doing them for God rather than for ourselves. Let's walk in the Spirit of God and let's do them for God, what we're doing. May God help us develop an attitude of faith, hope, and love. We need not be concerned about anything else. It is simply not important and should be regarded as a means of our final goal of being entirely lost in the love of God. We should desire to love Him as perfectly as we can in this life as well as in eternity. Walking in the Spirit of God. God wants to help us in that way. Yes, I think we'll continue on here. I think I'm going to move on towards closing. There's a lot of, you all know there's a lot of different subjects kind of been opened here, but my heart is to encourage us. Never tire of doing the smallest things for God. He's not impressed so much with the amount of work that we get done as with the love and cheerfulness that we do it in. Did you hear that? The attitude of our heart as we do what we do for God. That is what God is interested in. What thrills God is the cheerful spirit and love that we have as we serve Him. That's Chris that we heard about this week. The Greek word Chris for joy and grace. May we have the grace to not give up if we don't at first succeed. The enemy of our soul likes to conquer areas of our lives and then divide areas to gain influence. Just thinking how he likes us to put God over here. He likes us to categorize our lives and not live all of it for God. And when we do that, it's easier for him to influence areas of our life. And command and consecrate. We want my heart today. I just made a note here is to command and consecrate you to the transforming, life-changing power of God. It is the Spirit and the power of God that are our strength and hope. And I want to commend you to Him in that way. As Galatians says, meekness, temperance, against such there's no law. There's no law against these. That means there's no limit to how these can be exercised. And that's a tremendous blessing, tremendous freeing. Everything, my dear young people, almost everything is difficult at first. I don't say anything that I say today to allow you to escape without finding the strength to change habits this last week. That was not my heart in what I shared this today. Everything, let us press this flesh. Paul, there's scriptures we could go to. Paul, he was not easy on his flesh. And it's easy for us to be, we're too comfortable, we're too easy on our flesh. And my heart is not that we give this flesh any more comfort or any more room. That is not what I'm trying to say today, but that we walk in the Spirit as we apply these things to our life. I will just say here, in closing, if you can take note of this is some of my heart, do what you can with what you have where you are. I had an account here out of the Pilgrim's Progress, and I thought this may be encouraging, may encourage us. Prudence was asked this. Prudence, can you remember by what means you find your trials and challenges at times as if they were vanished, as they were no more? Prudence was asked that question. Can you remember by what means you find your trials and challenges at times as if they were vanquished? Christians reply, yes. When I think of and remember what I saw at the cross, that will do it. And when I look upon my broidered coat of righteousness, that will do it. And also when I look into the roll, the Word of God, that I carry in my bosom, the Word of God, that will do it. And when my thoughts wax warm about whether I'm going to spend eternity, that will do it. I thought that was fitting here as we close these thoughts here of walking in the Spirit. It's my thoughts wax warm about where I'm going to spend eternity. That helps my troubles and my trials in this life vanish. May God bless our efforts and our diligence in the time to come. And I mean, in this coming week here. And we're just grateful to Him.